The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. This is episode 38. You're here with Joey Murray, the Italian Stallion, and the idea guy, Russ. Welcome to the show.
Stallion, I am always excited to get on this podcast and challenge conventional wisdom.
Absolutely.
Today, we're challenging the conventional wisdom as it relates to hobbies.
Hobbies,
that's man. Right. What's your favorite hobby, Joey?
Man, there's nothing better for me than being out on the golf course with good weather. Now, if it's bad weather, I'm going to be in the clubhouse, okay? Yeah. But out in God's creation, enjoying it, and beating you around the course is always an added plus.
Oh, my goodness. This is not a comedy. This is supposed to be an informational podcast. Well, I will say this.
What about you? What's yours?
We're not talking about – well, I'll give it to you in a second.
Oh, okay. But
the goal of this is I think about hobbies – it's typically, you know, this therapeutic thing that we do. We break away. It helps us, you know, take all the stresses that we carry from our businesses, and we can just put that to the side.
Right. It's like a release.
Yeah. Sometimes there's just plenty of value in that. But there's a few times in this world that we actually can take a hobby, something that we really enjoy doing that is therapeutic, and it also can become something that increases our wealth.
Passively.
Right, that we can actually, you know, gain value through the value that we're creating through it. So today, this is kind of interesting that our guest is something that we've talked about a little bit on the show. It's about cattle. So we're going to kind of jump into there in a second. But I just feel very intrigued by the subject matter that there's things that we can do that can pay us, that can add value to our net worth, that starts out as a hobby.
Okay, now you have to let the cat out of the bag. What's your hobby?
I have lots of hobbies. So one of my hobbies is coaching my kids on things.
Sure.
And I'm not quite sure that I'm qualified to get paid in that yet, since I never was a swimmer. And, you know, my two that are really active right now are swimming. I tell them, like, swim fast, be the first one that hits the wall, right?
Dude, that's priceless knowledge right there.
I will say the other day that I was a timer at one of the little summer meets, so you don't have to have any real qualifications, just can you press the button whenever they hit the wall? And we were coming out of like a little technical difficulty, so I decided like to pump up all these little like 6 to, you know, 13-year-old kids. Like I went around, I was like high-fiving them, like, you know, let's get ready to swim. And you know, and so I'm going around and like I get to these two dads at the end of like the thing and I gave one of my high five and he's like, "That a boy, coach. Yeah, good job, man."
Nice.
And I was like, yeah.
Did you have some theme music playing? Like,
well, I had that in my head.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
Well, maybe not that. That was more like disco style. It was like more like the Rocky theme or something that was in my head. But either way, I was like, nah, they thought I was a coach. Hey, by the way, where's those snacks for coaches?
I love that. Well, as you mentioned, we have a great friend of ours in the studio today, Jamie Reynolds, who is not his full-time job is in real estate. He is co-owner of the Josh Vernon Group with Brick Realty here in Birmingham. He's one of our great friends and clients and the founder of the idea behind Iron City Cattle Company, how he took his passion, his, like you said, release, his hobby, and created a passive business from it. So I am grateful for him being here, and I know you're going to get a lot of value out of today's conversation. So let's go ahead and get to it. Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, and welcome in, Jamie. We're so glad to have you here today.
Excited to be here. Looking forward to diving into this with you.
Thank you. And by the way, this is the first time we have ever talked about cattle or livestock on this. Well, no, we've talked about it before, but not as a means of how to make this a passive income source.
Well, Jamie, you know, because you're an avid listener, that we sometimes get on here and exaggerate our involvement in the cattle business.
Sure, sure.
You are the original one. And I think that that's why Joey and I were really excited, one, about getting into cattle, but to share the story today of how you can take a hobby, something you're really passionate about, and then turn it into a money-generating activity.
Yeah, I think we've done some cool stuff here. And, you know, I'm excited to dig into, you know, the parts and pieces. I think at the end of the day, mostly we got into it so we could all wear cowboy hats.
Yes, yes. I mean, but not
the swag is definitely a highlight.
I mean, if you guys could see Joey's red cowboy boots, they just take it to a whole nother level.
That is not a true statement. Yeah, man, I mean, get beat up on this thing.
Joey and I at that cattle auction last fall, I mean, did we look like two people that just that fit right in, or did people, everybody know?
You know, my favorite part, you know, my wife goes with me sometimes. She doesn't make all of them, but she wanted to go to this one because we knew we had a large purchase we were planning to go to this auction to make. Araya lost focus on watching the cattle and the auctioneer, and she went to Russ watching. She's like, look at his face. When this auctioneer is wide open and in the zone, he's like, we see Russ like looking at other people to say, am I the only one that's hearing this?
It was beautiful. I will be honest, I had no idea what he was saying. And those guys yelling at the front, they had me just out of sorts, but it was beautiful. It was a wonderful sight.
If you've never been to a cattle auction, I highly recommend it. I mean, even if you never planned
an open invitation to Wealth Without Wall Street listeners, we just go.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, you let us know when the next one is, and then we'll do a meetup. We'll bring some cash, and we'll all buy a bull together, right?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Well, especially if it's the one that we're selling.
That's right, because we'll be excited. We'll be celebrating.
Well, I think the point of this show, though, is to get into hobby, because some people run their business like a hobby, and we are not advocates of that. You've got to be focused on how you're going to sell your business. But most hobbies don't turn into capital. I mean, for instance, I could take Joey out on the golf course and I can literally beat him up and down the course, but I can't feed my family on that. That's just not something that's possible.
No. In fact, nobody can make money in fantasy land. Okay. So go ahead and just cut that out. That you beating me on the golf course is a fantasy.
But Jamie, how did you take a hobby and apply that into actually making money?
Yeah, you know, this is something that's always fascinated me. There's been a, you know, a hobby, an interest, a passion, whatever you want to call it, you know, something I've gone back to over and over and over again. But something that struck me was that just the way I see most people do it wasn't fascinating. It wasn't interesting. And I know a lot of farmers that, you know, and I think you guys have kind of gotten into that niche just a little bit, that it's huge sums of cash. Sometimes they make it, sometimes they lose it. It's a tough lifestyle. And, you know, anybody, I think we're all fascinated a little bit with the cool things of being a cowboy. You know, the guys we see on TV riding the horse and the cowboy hat and, you know, the tough guy. But the part of the story nobody wants to talk about is, you know, feeding livestock in the pouring rain or the freezing cold or a sick animal or, you know, all those parts and pieces. And as you guys mentioned, I'm actually a full-time real estate agent. I have a large team that's a lot of demands. My focus has to be in other places. So this wasn't something that I wanted a full-time job in the cattle business, but I wanted to participate in it. But also, you know, in addition to the fact that I love the animals and I want to participate in the animals, I'm also pretty intrigued by, I don't want to just throw money at something just because it's something that I like. So I wanted to identify something specific, kind of change the niche of an outside the box perspective, I guess is the best way to put it, of how can I do this differently? And you know, that's kind of the plan we came up with.
Well, and I love how you mentioned a couple of things I gathered from that and just from knowing you and being involved with this. You didn't have the time to make this a full-time gig. And so you had to be creative, right? You had to imagine not just how everybody else does cattle. How can I do it in such a way that didn't demand all my time, but I could still be around a passion? It's almost like therapy for you, right? And how many people that are listening to this podcast have a hobby, something that they like to just kind of decompress and go do? And I know I've talked to you and you're driving out to the land and you're, man, I love going out there and working the land. I love being out there and working with my hands, whatever. So you turn that now into something that's paying for itself at the very least, and in many ways, make it a profit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head exactly in that, you know, we've built a really exciting real estate business that's the path. You know, that's what we're going to be doing for the next 15 to 20 years. The cattle business, the owning the property, living in that scenario, that's the end all one day. So what this was basically something to put the two together. How can I participate in an industry that I absolutely love, that I have some knowledge, I have some contacts? Can I put something together that several people in the process can benefit from? And that's the plan. You know, you and I sketched it out on paper. We've got our very first group born on the ground, moving through that process. And it's crazy to think it was something we were talking about a year and a half ago of, could it be done? And, you know, over the last year and a half, we've made some serious moves. Some really neat things have happened. We've made friends all over the country because of it. So it's just the parts and pieces are coming together. It's really exciting to see.
What I've noticed too is that you've taken your expertise in marketing. That's how you've grown your business. You have been a disruptor in a more traditional referral-based, belly-to-belly business in real estate and have gone into the market space and have started capturing people and have grown a great business because of it. And I've watched you take that same expertise and apply it into this world. I mean, the networks, the swag. I mean, by the way, we've got some really sweet Iron City Cattle swag out there. I mean, I see you selling meat. I see you selling semen. I mean, all these things.
Not mine.
Thank you for clarifying that.
But you've taken that marketing aspect, something that was a gift of yours, and just applied it into this hobby.
Well, I'll tell you what I found, in my opinion, was the biggest weakness of the cattle industry, and this may be businesses in general, is I felt like the guys who were the absolute most skilled at raising those high dollar animals that we're all fascinated with, and take any industry. If cattle doesn't interest you at all, let's talk racehorses. You know, Justify just won the Triple Crown, and there's millions and millions of dollars that will be made off of his future offspring and, you know, the things they'll do with that. But where I found such a disconnect is like our close friend at this point, Nick. He has a gigantic farm, does a tremendous job, but Nick is so busy. He doesn't really have time for the one-on-one relationships with somebody who's just getting started and wants to buy one animal. It's not big enough for those guys. So the guys who are kind of the titans of this industry are the experts, the ones that are raising these $25,000, $50,000. We even saw $100,000 bull sale last year at an auction. They don't have the time for that. So buying, selling, the interpersonal relationships, that's what I love. And that's what I felt like was missing, that we could, you know, kind of capitalize and build a small group of people that we could do some really cool things with.
Well, one more thing too in this is that you didn't just go after anything. You got very targeted in the animals that you wanted to get into.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. You know, I've heard you guys use the phrase, stay in your lane. You know, I don't know racehorses. I don't know other animals. This is an animal that I've been around. I've had some close friends that have been in that industry. I grew up. My granddad had a small farm, so I have some base knowledge. I would say far from an expert as far as every part and piece, but that's okay. My strong belief is no matter what our business is, you know, the business you guys are in, real estate, I was in the floor covering business. My strong belief is we build a vast network and then we market through that network. So I've spent the last couple of years, you know, assembling people that I think are key players in this from the people who will supply the animals in the very beginning, moving through the process of an end user.
Well, it's important that you said that because I heard a story one time about Henry Ford. He was supposedly brought before Congress or the government in some form or fashion, basically challenging whether or not he was capable of running this, like, you know, superpower business, right? Because he had like a fifth grade education. And he says, I have the expert. What question do you have? I'll bring the expert in here to answer the question for you. So what you've done is like you said, you didn't have to be an expert in all those areas, but you knew what your expertise was. And you took that and said, hey, I'm going to take a hobby and then I'm going to go find the experts and I'm going to be able to build a fun business out of this that I can be part-time in, but know that I'm still being skilled and I'm doing it in an excellent way.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the greatest experiences so far is some of the people who we didn't expect to, you know, starting from you guys, honestly, you know, this Joey and I were talking about this as just a strategy and, you know, you expressed some interest and that led to Russ deciding it was something he was interested in. Some good friends of ours who are real estate attorneys said, man, we'd like to participate in this. And then my business partner in real estate also expressed interest. So there's six of us who are, we've put this together. We've already had an investor purchase some animals from us that we're helping him see this through. So it's interesting to see people who you would never, ever at all attribute that, you know, this is somebody that's going to be fascinated by this, raising their hand and saying, we'd kind of like to play ball with this. You know, that's what you guys are doing. At the end of the day, I think it's fun more than anything else, but there's very much a specific target that we're going for. And it's exciting to see the parts coming together.
Well, and I love how you discovered a gap. That's something I think we can take away from this interview as well, as you found a gap, a known section in the market that you're like, wonder why somebody's not marketing like this, right? In this particular field. So I think as entrepreneurs, we're always kind of thinking about our business that way. We're looking at our business on it instead of in it. And that's a key thing we need to do. We talked about that with a 10X mind expander last week. But I think if we can find things within our hobbies that we love, we need that kind of, you know, reprieve from what we're doing work-wise, and then figure out where's the gap in this quote-unquote industry or this niche, and then meet the need. Like, entrepreneurs are always providing value wherever they go. And so this is a natural thing, but it's not always natural to think about your hobby in this way. So hopefully we can all kind of walk away from this and find that for what we'd like
to do. And I think, I think there's so many things that you can apply this to. You know, I've got friends that do this in the car industry, whether that be a classic car that they can discover and they can do the work and the elbow grease and put it. I have an uncle who does this with boats. He's always been in the fishing industry. So he's got a specific, you know, like a 19 to 25 foot boat. He knows those. He knows he has a niche for them. And I've seen him countless times take one of those and what we would call a flip in real estate, polish it up, sell it. I think Lincoln does guns.
That's,
you know,
right.
A close friend of ours. It's in the mortgage industry. He does this with very high-end, you know, guns. So I think a huge point from this is while cattle is the thing that fascinates me, there's also such a learning piece that it's anything, you know, coins or stamps, or there's so many different things that people could participate in.
You said it. I mean, you find a hobby, you enjoy it, something that's therapeutic to you, right? Something that is going to allow you to kind of decompress from our work, because we go home. And a lot of times we're pretty jazzed up and we need something to have an outlet for. And not all hobbies are meant to be another avenue to create wealth. But what you said, Joey, was very pointed, is that we wanted to create value. As entrepreneurs, that is the passion we have, is to create value. And what you saw in the cattle industry is, man, I could add value here. And then all you start doing is building relationships. I got to imagine that this is also going to kind of feed back to your mainline business in some way.
Yeah. You know, I can trace one, absolutely, you know, a good close friend of mine that we talked about, Nick, that owns Lake Majestic Farms, that we're actually partners with on some animals. He just hired a new ranch manager who moved here from Louisiana. I actually knew Vince as well from another relationship at another place. They asked if I would be willing to help him purchase a home, which is a little out of my comfort zone. It was a couple hours away, but I laid out what I felt I could do a good job with, and those guys did it. So we actually were able to help him locate a home, which created several thousand dollars just in commissions off of that. In addition to that, Nick, because of some of the animals we've marketed, has offered me an opportunity just to market his animals, which you guys have seen some of that. But over the last year, I've sold about $100,000 worth of cattle for him that has created some extra revenue for there. Again, while I'm sharpening, you know, learning the skill set, basically, of what these animals are worth and what we can do with them. So it's created some really, really unique opportunities that were not at all part of the original vision.
I love the idea. Something I'll take away from that as well. When you create value, it just attracts the right relationships. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about networking on a previous podcast, and you know, some people went, well, why in the world are these guys? They're supposed to be talking about passive income. What is networking? Well, that's a way that we're investing in ourselves and in our business, and it just attracts like value. I see that in what you've done with Iron City and with Lake Majestic and all these guys that you've been working on. Every time we go to these auctions, everybody knows Jamie, right?
They do.
Everybody knows this guy. So it's been fun to watch, and I can see the future, you know, but I think people right now are listening and saying, okay, how in the world do you not touch anything in this process? How is this a passive income for you? Like, maybe share a couple. I know you don't want to get into weeds.
We'll call it the highlights, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, because traditional farmers, my goodness, you know, I saw my granddad do this stuff, and it was, so what I find most farmers today are doing is most farmers can no longer support themselves on their farm. I don't know if you guys have seen some of this, but there's a huge move in the dairy industry right now that Walmart made some moves that's, as them being entrepreneurs and growing their business, has adversely affected some small farms. And there's a lot of farmers who wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. They do their, you know, chores, if you will, feed the animals, check on the animals. Then they go to their full-time job from 9 to 5, and then they come home and they work animals, you know, till dark. That's not what I wanted to do. You know, I told you guys, I've come back to this thing a couple different times, and my dad and I purchased some animals together a few years ago. Worked all day. At the time, I was in the flooring business. Worked all day in sales. Come home to find out that our cows are loose. They've broken through the fences. So,
that's a bad
thing. You know, so we go find them. We go locate them. We round them back up. About a week later, they did that. And then the day after, the second time, they were all at the stockyard gone. I was done. Finished.
But you're in real estate, right? How many times do you get an investor who comes to you and says, hey, I want a rental property, but I don't want to touch it. I don't want to get the phone call when the water heater breaks.
Sure.
I don't want to know anything about the tenant and what they're doing. I want to buy the property. I want to have a manager that handles it. And I just want to get a check in the mail.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's kind of what you're trying to accomplish. I know it's what I wanted to accomplish through this process.
Right.
Yeah. So I would say just the highlights of this is we take an animal, a female who has created some kind of known offspring. She's produced a herd bull that sold for large sums of money. $5,000, $10,000, $25,000 and up. It's a line that we take an educated guess is it's going to work again.
This is the registered cattle
industry. Okay. Yep. And I'm assuming would work the same way in horses or anything like that. But so what we're doing is there's a process in the cattle industry where we can take that female and instead of her being bred to a bull to produce one calf a year, there's a process. It's embryo transfer, but it's called superovulation where an embryologist, an expert, not me, gives her a set of medication to where she produces multiple embryos. So we can take those and put them in a host cow or a recip is what we call it. So the parts and pieces were we took those embryos from the high-end breeders, the guys mm-hmm. we were discussing earlier, who are the titans of this, and they've got these females. So those can be purchased for a fee. Then we take those to more the traditional farmer.
I mean, are those embryos sitting in like your freezer at the house?
So not mine, not mine. But, you know, they're stored cryogenically, I guess is the best way to put it.
So you're not holding on to them.
Yeah, there again. So our very first set of live calves, in all truthfulness, you guys have never seen them other than pictures. Other than pictures.
They're pretty.
Yeah, they look good. So, but, you know, basically we purchased the embryos who the embryologist had. The embryologist brought to the farm to put in the recip cows. I was definitely not involved in that part of the process. We'll just let y'all's imaginations run wild with that one. But they have to physically be put in. I definitely didn't want to be part of that. You know, the next step of the process is the guy who owns the recip cows takes care of those, manages them, does that 5 o'clock feeding that none of us want to participate in. When the calves are born, they're weighed. They're given some vaccinations, make sure they're healthy, everything's good. He then cares for them with the mama cow. They're cared for the next 6 months. At that point, we pick them up.
And you say we.
So we, I did participate in this. I did drive a truck, but it could have been farmed out. It absolutely could have been done. But they were moved from that guy's farm who got his check, services rendered, he's done. And he loves this scenario because he charges us a premium above what those just stockyard calves would have been worth. So on our calves, he made $400 to $500 extra. He's happy with the arrangement. They're then moved to the registered farm. This is Lake Majestic, our good mm-hmm. friends there, who also, again, weighed them, ear tag. We're pulling DNA to verify that they are who they're supposed to be and all those parts and pieces. Areas of expertise I do not have. but I don't have to have. This is a running right. farm. So now those cows are out there with Nick's in what's called a contemporary group, where they will be measured how they grow, how they perform. And here in another 6 months or so, they will be at their target age, at which we will either consign them to a registered sale, we'll market them ourselves, we'll do some things. But if all the parts have gone correctly, above all the expenses, there should be a sizable check left over.
And what you're doing is through this hobby, something that you really love to do, you're building a business that has extreme value at some point. It can provide, even as you said, even an avenue to where if you really wanted to own a farm and move out and be a rancher, cattleman, you can do that. But I see this too. I mean, we watch lots of different passive income activities happen. I see people who are literally on the internet selling products that they never put their hands on, right? It's just a website that they have. That's just the transaction, but yet they've built the value, one, to get the consumer, two, to have the distributors that they are able to middle that stuff through. You're creating that. And as I'm listening to this, and I want you, as you're listening to this in your car or running down the road or whatever you're doing right now, to kind of imagine what hobby are you in that you find value, you find pleasure in, that also, you know, through your expertise and what you're doing as a business owner, maybe you could go out and you could create an opportunity that could, you know, just add value to the world, but also get compensated to do it.
Well, and I love the fact that you get to be involved in the parts and pieces that you want to be involved with. And then you found the experts along the way to fill in the gaps. And that's something I think we all, I'm going to go back to this 10X Mind Expander. He talks about us working in our unique ability as business owners. And that's kind of the same idea that we can use for what we're talking about with hobbies and say, okay, well, what do I love about this? And what do I maybe not want to be involved in? And so obviously use the embryo insertion as the part that you want to
You know, and I think you guys hit it on the nail, and you've seen me in what I would consider my favorite part of it. That's the sale day, you know, the day that all the guys come together, and it's twofold. It's the enjoyment of being able to be proud of something that you've seen from, I mean, from the very beginning. You've seen it grow, you've seen it, and it's a chance to basically evaluate it against all your peers and your friends who are also in this industry, because we're all bringing our very best to sale day. It's basically right. what it works out. So we get a chance to see, okay, what did he come up with this year? What's Trey and Kendall been able to do? You know, what have we done? And it's going to be very fascinating for us to get to compare that we're going to be competing in a space with people who've done this their entire lives. And through technology, my opinion is we're going to make some gigantic strides doing things completely different.
Joey and I read the book 10X Mind Expander. And one of the
things Jamie just finished it too.
So, you know, in that book, he said that if you're going to 10X, you're going to have to embrace technology.
Yeah.
And that is an area that the cattle industry, for instance, from my limited viewpoint, in some areas have embraced it, but in others, just love the fact that my granddad's granddad, they did it this way.
Sure.
You know, when you come in as a disruptor to that and can really create value through using technology and being willing to embrace it, I think there's real opportunity there. So.
Well, and I tell you where I think it's exciting is, I guess I'm coming into it kind of in the middle of the road. I've seen some of those things. I've seen some things I like. But in this alliance with our friends and partners, you guys have no knowledge of the cattle industry. And I know Russ sometimes in our lunches will challenge us, well, why aren't we doing it this way? It's so exciting because if you come in without a set of rules, and I talk about this with my real estate agents sometimes, that they live in a box. Also just finished a 10X book, but it was Grant Cardone's 10X book. And he said, why should we compete in a space and play by the rules if we can get unfair advantages by stepping outside of the box? And I think that's a powerful, powerful thought, that if everybody does it this way, but you can create a new avenue to do something, then, you know, there's untold opportunities. And when you set a trend, others will follow. But if you do it the right way, you're so far ahead of them that you've got a real opportunity to get some stuff done.
I mean, I'm thinking we may even have Uber Cow come from this.
Possibility,
I mean,
for sure.
You know, we're that was a total joke.
I mean, you are seeing, I mean, obviously the end result of this is the meat. We know that everybody's going healthy. They're trying to find better ways to eat. You know, I see these Eat Go Fit things popping up everywhere. You've got the meals being sent to us in the mail that, you know, are on these healthy plans. I know the cattle, these cattle are the finest bred. They're organic as you can be. I don't even know if I'm saying all the right words here, but whenever, you know, we're out there, we're looking for this, there's markets. You're taking an animal as I see it, and you're trying to make it have all the best attributes. And then it's then put on a farm where those attributes are then extended through cattle, which is basically creating, you know, value to the world. I mean, it's just pretty cool stuff. And the fact that Joey and I, as cattlemen as we are, get to participate in this is really good.
If you're interested to see more about that, we need to do more videos, but seeing the city boys in the cow pen, that's a side splitter right there. I'm not going to lie.
I've invited Joey to play slap the bull with you, but it's important that you go first. You want to be first run at this. So I haven't been able to quite talk him into the pen, but you know, it's something we're working on.
Well, this is fun. And as you're listening, thank you so much for taking the time through this part of taking a hobby and applying it into how do I create value and maybe create revenue. So Jamie, thank you so much for dropping in with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
That was uncommon thinking there, Joey.
I mean, it's not every day you're going to hear people in the financial world talking about bulls, donor cows, embryos, right? I mean,
we're bearish on Wall Street, but we're bullish on the cattle market. or more
untotally intended.
Yeah, more accurately, we're bullish on hobbies that have value.
That's right. And it's not that your hobby always has to have a passive income, but if you could, you would, right? So grateful to have Jamie on the show today, sharing his ideas, his experience, how he's done this for us with Iron City Cattle, which, by the way, you can find Iron City Cattle on Facebook. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can go and like it and follow our story along as we are bailing forward in this thing.
We can see some of the calves that we have out there right now and our big bull anvil.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I will say this. What I took out of that meeting is that you have someone who is very talented in lots of ways, running team, leadership, marketing, and he's found a hobby that he can apply those things to. And that's where, you know, as you're sitting there listening to this show, you're probably thinking, you know, what's my hobby? What is it that I'm passionate about? And maybe your God-given ability to do one thing in workplace, you can apply it to here. Now, Joe, I know that you made the joke that I was living in fantasy land about beating you in golf.
Yes.
Fantasy land is that I would be able to make money off of it.
Ah, okay. Thank you for clarifying
that. I could still beat you, but there's just not that much money in
it. Not with that duck hook you've got off the tee. I mean, once you start doing that, I know I'm in the clear.
Well, speaking of hooks, I want to hook to our next episode because we've got probably the one person who can beat up on me more than you can, and that is my business coach.
You even pay her to do that.
Oh, it is brutal. And next episode, she really is going to get into the failures that I have, but more importantly, the successes that business owners can achieve and accomplish if they will quit doing the things that I've done in my past.
Yeah, you are not going to want to miss these tips and anecdotes and all these things. Listen in. Here's a little clip from next week's episode.
The reason why business owners don't look at a coach is because they're successful, right? And they think, I can figure it out. I figured it out to this point. Most of the coaching clients we work with are very successful people. I mean, they're making millions. The construction guy owns an airplane, right? He's not any dummy at any stretch of the point. And so you got to just put down your ego and realize, I mean, every top athlete in the world has a coach.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.